the Lord Jesus speaks a very gracious word in John chapter 14, verse 27. Gracious and peaceful words flowing from the lips of Jesus of Nazareth here, John 14, 27, and he says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace." This is not a worldly peace. This is the peace of Jesus himself. The peace of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, the peace of God. And he says that he is giving it to us. This is not a worldly peace, so the world can't take it away. This is not a fleshly peace, so flesh can't take it away. This isn't an angelic peace, so fallen angels can't take it away. This is the peace of Jesus, the Son of God. And because he gives us his peace, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God is most glorified in us during the tribulation, when we are at the most peace with him. When we are at peace with him, when we are resting in him, God is most glorified in us. When the world is in tribulation, that we would have peace in Christ, that we would be at rest in our souls in Christ. God is most glorified in us in the midst of unprecedented and unspeakable human suffering, when we are neither troubled nor afraid. That glorifies God. That is a bright and shining light in a dark place. That is God's master plan to proclaim the gospel and promote the gospel in the end of the world. That the fearlessness of the saints of God would be a testimony in itself. A token of the wrath of God against sinners. A token of the peace of God for penitent sinners. It says in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, that men's hearts shall fail them for looking upon the things coming upon the earth. Men's hearts shall fail them. That is, they will have literal heart attacks, cardiac arrest, for the fear and the anxiety. Heathen men call them panic attacks today because of the absolute chaos of utter pandemonium, where men, women, and children worldwide are panicking to the point of physical death through cardiac arrest. God is glorified in the saints as they fearlessly, peacefully venture their gaze upward, and they know that their redemption is nigh. Luke 21, 25 through 28, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall ye see the Son of Man clothed in a cloud with power and with great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see the contrast here, as the hearts of proud and impenitent sinners are made to be distressed when the illusion of false peace is taken away from sinners and they have no peace. God is then glorified with the peace and the quietness of Christians lifting up their head, knowing that their redemption is nigh. While the hope of sinners is utterly lost, the hope of Christians at this time is at an unprecedented height. While sinners have lost all hope of building their own empires and strengthening their own glory, while all of their dreams are dashed to pieces before their eyes, where they're fearing the very heaven falling down upon their heads, the Christians just lift up their countenances on high and lift up their hands, welcoming the descending presence of Jesus, the Son of God, with unprecedented peace, happiness, quietness, and rest. This is God's plan in the end of the world, to distress those who have worldly peace and to fortify those who have the peace of Jesus Christ, heavenly peace. The prophet Isaiah uses language to convey faith in God that communicates this very burden of peace and rest through fearing the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself." Isaiah 8, 13. "Let him be your fear and let him be your dread." And therein is peace. Therein is peace. If you can learn by the Spirit of God to fear the Lord, and if you can unlearn the fear of men and those things that make men fear, then you shall have peace. You shall have rest. And that is, in other words, you shall have faith. Your faith will endure unto the end in the midst of the tribulation. It's not about our peace or comfort personally or how good we feel in our bodies. It's about righteousness in the soul. This is a language that communicates you standing by grace through faith in the last days, you enduring to the end. This is a description of saving faith in the last days. Peace when the world has no peace. And obviously, according to Luke 21, 25 through 28, things are going to get a lot worse. But we know that this is the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord. The heathen doesn't know that. We know that this is the Lord's goodness. These are the wonderful works to the children of men, according to Psalm 107. That God would distress sinful men and bring them to their wits' end. That God would show them the gates of death. That God would bring them very close to hell, only that he might plead with them and preach to them the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ in those very fearful moments of human suffering and misery. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The same psalm where that term was coined, that He brought them to their wits' end. He brought these men to their wits' end. Psalm 107, verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. In such circumstances, not a sea vessel tossed in the raging waves of the sea, but in the circumstances of the last days, that goes far beyond Psalm 107. Many new psalms could be written in the 70th week of Daniel that eclipse all former psalms of suffering, pain, human misery, as sinners are brought to their wits' end. New chapters like Job 33, where it says that the Lord oftentimes chastens men and makes their bones cry with strong pain and lays them up on a bed of sickness and brings them down close to the grave, brings them right to the edge of hell to send them an interpreter, a messenger. Job 33:23 says, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. Job 33:29, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, but much more in the tribulation. Much more in the tribulation. When according to Luke chapter 21, it is God's will to contrast the panic of sinners with the peace of saints. It is God's will to show His glory, to show the unshakableness of His kingdom, that though heaven and earth shall be shaken, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ cannot be shaken. That is what the Lord says. That is what the Lord teaches us in Hebrews chapter 12. That we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hebrews 12, 28. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved in context, while the Lord in the last days is moving and shaking everything else. As Haggai prophesied in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, and Hebrews 12, 26. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. In context, the kingdom of God is declared to be unshakable. And the kingdom of God, which is invisible, will be revealed by the visible countenances of saints who have an unshakable confidence in Christ, who have an unshakable peace in Christ, while the world is in distress, and while heaven and earth is being shaken and is being torn apart. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. This peace of Christ, which is of heaven, which is of His person, which is invincible and unconquerable, this peace of Christ, which is purely righteous and holy, that will make you righteous in believing this peace of Christ shines the brightest while men don't understand their own way, while men are brought beyond the brink of their own human understanding. That is, God is pleased to bring men beyond the threshold of human understanding. God is pleased to make Christians dependent upon God with childlike faith and peace, even though they don't understand whither they've come, where they're going, only that the Spirit of God is with them. That is certainly what is being preached in Philippians chapter 4. Speaking of the moderation of the last days, carefulness and peace. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Philippians 4 verse 5. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God," the peace of God that is stronger than earth and heaven, the peace of God that is stronger than angels and cherubim, the peace of God that is stronger than circumstances and situations, the peace of God that is stronger, he says, "and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And this keeping is a guarding, it's a protecting, it is a overshadowing, the overshadowing presence of peace. Which is why a tribulation psalm, Psalm 91, opens up "Blessed is the man that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty." Blessed is the man, in other words, with God's peace cast upon them as a shadow. Blessed is the man who has peace while the world is distressed. And here in particular, the language of faith is prayer. Faith expresses itself to God through prayer. It is not that we have nothing to be careful about, but in our cares, we impulsively, continuously, and without ceasing express those things to God in prayer. And upon doing that, through the sustenance of the presence of God, we shall have the peace of the Lord. Perhaps you remember the word of the tribulation prophets, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." God is pleased to take away peace from the earth. God is pleased to make wicked men feel no peace. God will be glorified in that day when it shall be true worldwide that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That the wicked are like a troubled sea whose waters cast up dirt and mire. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But that in context is speaking, of course, the handiwork of the Lord in the tribulation, when the Lord will make bare his holy arm before all flesh. When it shall be fulfilled, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, that all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. shall be crying, weeping, and wailing on the ground in distress of soul and mind and misery. Not because people died, or not because World War III happened, not because the Antichrist was slain, not because they lost their riches, but because they're afraid of the Son of God. And He's visibly in their sight, and He is angry upon His countenance, and they feel themselves to be His adversary. That something worse than death has now become visible to them. Something more terrifying than the punishing sting of physical death. And it's the angry face of the living Christ. Where the kings and princes and noblemen of the earth would wish for death if they could only shelter themselves and feel that there's some distance between them and the angry face of the living Christ that has just visibly appeared to all men worldwide in the skyline of the world. Again, the Lord is pleased in the tribulation to take away peace from the earth, to take away peace from the wicked, to fortify the righteous in peace because of the unshakableness of His kingdom and His glory, His keeping power, and the presence of His shadow upon you and over you, beloved brother, beloved sister. As you can see, according to the scriptures, God is pleased. This plan is set in stone. That is, it cannot be changed. It will not be changed. It's on the calendar, brethren. It's coming in the near future. And COVID is just the beginning. A little tremor before the mighty shaking.